Well, good morning. I want to say I appreciate all of you who braved the weather and the roads today. I know a lot of people may have stayed home for safety reasons and being just it raining and being very cold. Some of our older members stayed home as well. We are thankful that you are here today. This past week was such a joyous time to be together, especially to be together at this building pretty much close to midnight. Now, I'll say close to midnight because we did not make it all the way till midnight. There was enough parents here with little children where we celebrated the Eastern New Year rather than the Central Time New Year. So it was a great time. And during that time, during that unveil event, we got to talk about our theme for the year. If you notice our two banners, it's going to be about momentum. Being a church in motion. We want to be a church that is not only in our community, but also together more with each other. We want to be a church that loves each other, that is with each other, and we have done a job as a ministry staff of putting together events where we are going to make that opportunity available for all of us. We are, again, very excited for this year and for all the things that are going to be happening. And we're thankful that you are going to be a part of it with us. Now, in January, we are going to be talking about this sermon series, Be the One. Now, when you go through the New Testament, you'll find a variety of stories where there is one person standing out from the crowd. And that's what we're going to be talking about is over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about one person who was different, one person who made a difference because of what they did. And now, a lot of these lessons will be geared towards evangelism because as we start off 2025, I would love for us to be encouraged to go out and be different in our communities and be those people who are the one that helps somebody else. So as you heard read in our scripture reading, we are going to be in Mark chapter 1 this morning, and we're going to be focusing on that particular section of scripture. And the actual text, if you were able to grab an order of worship this morning, we're going to be in verses 40 through 45, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Now, this time of year, with it being wintertime, you often hear of people having seasonal depression. Also, it's just right after the holidays of having such a high, and now you may be brought low because family's gone, and now it's just you. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have felt in isolation or maybe felt alone and having this feeling of loneliness, especially during this time of year when it's hard to go outside because it could be colder weather? I know living up in South Dakota, it was hard for us to go outside a lot because you just didn't want to walk outside in negative 14 degrees. That was not fun. And so you got to spend a lot of time inside, which could, if you're especially an extroverted person, could cause a lot of loneliness feelings because you want to be out there, you want to be around people, and be having that loneliness can cause us to have such problems in our life. The CDC actually defines loneliness as feeling like you do not have a meaningful or close relationship or a sense of belonging. Have you ever had that feeling? Feeling like you don't belong anywhere or with anybody? Maybe you don't belong in your family. Maybe you're one of those black sheep type people. Or maybe you haven't found the right community, or maybe you haven't been fully engaged in the church, and so because of that, you feel like you don't belong sometimes. Well, this morning, I want to encourage us to be the one who will share Jesus. Be the one who will help somebody feel like they belong. Be the one that will help somebody feel like they don't have to be alone anymore. The message and the account we're going to read about is about somebody who was very alone, but found Jesus and made sure to share it with everybody. Now, in Mark chapter 1, I hope you're there. We're going to understand the context of what's happening and understand what is happening right before this. So in Mark chapter 1, if you go all the way to the very beginning, in the first few verses, we read about John the Baptist and his ministry. Right? He was the forerunner to Jesus. And so he's out there crying in the wilderness, and he is pointing everybody to the one to come. Well, Jesus steps onto the scene in about verses 10 and 11, 9 through 11 there. You'll notice that Jesus comes and is baptized by John the Baptist, right? And then after that, he is compelled by the Spirit to go into the wilderness. And that is that time where Jesus spends, where he is tempted by Satan. In 40 days and nights, he is being tempted over and over by Satan, but at the end of it, he comes out triumphant. In verses 14 and 15, he starts his ministry. He goes about preaching. Now, he's preaching a specific message, if you notice in those two verses. He's preaching the gospel of God. Now, what is that good news of God that he's preaching? Notice that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, what that means is that the reign of God is here, right? The kingdom of God is here. Well, why would the kingdom of God need to be coming back? Why would it now be such a big message for Jesus to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand? If you do any sort of studying on the Jewish religion, you'll know that the Jews had done a wonderful job of kicking God out of their religion. In Mark chapter 7, you'll notice that Jesus rebukes the scribes and Pharisees and all these Jewish leaders because they had done an expert job of setting God aside and holding to their traditions and commands. They had kicked God out of God's own kingdom. And so that's why Jesus is coming and he's preaching that the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. He then goes on to preach a message about the time is fulfilled. Now, this was a major message for the Jews because the time being fulfilled meant that that promise all the way back to Abraham about the seed, right? The descendant of Abraham would bless all nations. The one who was going to sit on David's throne, the one that was going to be the Messiah, he's saying that time is now. The time is fulfilled. I am here. And so he gives them two actions. He says to repent, which would also help us understand they were doing something wrong and needed to do something right. The wrong they were doing was kicking God out of the religion, right? Not being submissive to him. And so he's letting them know, y'all need to change your ways. And then he lets them know that they need to believe. They need to trust in the message that he is preaching, that he is bringing to them, this gospel of God. Now, that is what Jesus is preaching. And whenever you read through the book of Mark, you need to always have that in mind when it says Jesus is preaching and he's doing all of these signs, because this is ultimately the message that he's letting everybody know. So after that, he goes and he casts out the unclean spirit of a man. He's calling his first few disciples to him. All right, and then he meets Simon's mother-in-law who has a fever, and he takes her by the hand, and that fever leaves her, and she starts to serve them. And then you heard in our scripture reading, what happened right after that? These guys, these first few disciples, got to witness this man performing these miracles, and they said, there's a lot of people that could use his help. So let's go and let's bring everybody. And so it lets us know that everybody came who had a disease, an illness, and an unclean spirit, and Jesus spent most of the evening, all of the evening, casting out demons and healing those who were sick. Could you imagine? There were so many people there that people couldn't get into the place where he was. So Jesus spends all night doing that. And then if you ever want an encouragement of when to pray and how often we should pray, Mark 1:35 is a great verse to talk about prayer, because we had Jesus spending all night doing all of these miracles, and then what does he do the next morning? Does he hit the snooze button on his alarm clock? No, he wakes up before the sun has even come up. He finds a desolate place and he prays. He's about to start a 3-year journey where he is going to be going around preaching and helping people with all of these different ways he can help them. And so he spends time in prayer. And then after that, we find his purpose as to why he has come, right? Look at verses 38 and 39, and we'll find why Jesus has come and why he is doing all of this. Notice, and he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came." And he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus's main purpose was to go and preach this message, this gospel of God, and to go around and help people understand how God's reign is coming back. And he also had miracles to go along with that to help confirm the message that he was preaching. Now, I want you to notice our text today. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, what Mark does in his account is he lets us know, and we build up this message about this man who has stepped onto the scene, who's preaching but also healing. And so now we find in this particular passage this leper. Now, if you'll notice, the first part of this particular passage in verses 40 through 42, we learn about who is this man, this leper that comes to him, right? I want you to notice a little bit about what leprosy is. I put a little excerpt about it. It is a disease that is in a special manner rendered its victims unclean. That'll be important for us in just a second. It rendered its victims unclean. Even contact with a leper defiled whoever touched him. If you were to be in the presence of a leper and you touched their garments or you touched their clothes, you would then become unclean as well. And so when you read through the Old Testament and the specific laws that were associated with leprosy, you'll have to go to Leviticus 13 through chapter 14. In all of Leviticus 13, you find out who has leprosy. And you'll also figure out what their requirements are as being a leper. And then in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, you'll figure out what they have to do. Notice what's said here. "The leprous man who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.'" Could you imagine, okay, you have leprosy. And all of a sudden, you're having to wear torn clothes, you have to grow your hair out, you have to cover your face, and you have to go around saying unclean. How fun would it be to go to Walmart saying unclean, unclean, and everybody going, "Oh no, I am staying far away from you because I don't want to be that person." Could you imagine how alone and how isolated this leper must have felt? Being unclean. And now everybody doesn't want to be around you because they don't want to be unclean. Notice verse 46. "He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease." He is unclean. "He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp." Could you imagine that life? We don't even have to remember that far back. Remember 4 years ago, if you tested positive for COVID, you pretty much got to go around and let everybody know, "I am unclean." And for 14 days, you had to isolate yourself. That was not fun. I don't know of anybody who said, wow, this 14 days is great, right? Even if you got off work and got paid time off, by that 10th day, you were like, this is absolutely miserable. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to see people. And that was two Sundays you probably had to miss from being with the church. And there was a lot of times where churches didn't have services. How alone did you feel? Because you didn't get to be around other Christians. You see, we're not so far removed from understanding what it means to be that alone. And that's what this leper was feeling. He was feeling alone. He was probably put into one of these camps that had a lot of lepers in it. But could you imagine living with a lot of other people who had this same feeling of loneliness? There was probably an eternal dark cloud over that house all the time because they just were like, we're alone. We can't do anything. We can't go to the synagogue and learn about God. We can't be in the marketplaces getting to shop for food and all of these other things. If we do, we have to go and we start yelling at everybody that we're unclean. That wouldn't be fun. And so that's why you see him coming to Jesus. Maybe he's already heard the news spread about this man. Maybe this is actually a time a little bit later on in Jesus' ministry, but Mark decided to insert it here in the first chapter. And he's heard about Jesus and how he can help him. And so he comes to him and he's imploring him. Now this word for implore means to strongly urge Jesus. He came begging him. Urging him, beseeching him, and kneeling at his feet, he said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Notice I have clean highlighted. You have a flesh-eating disease. That's what leprosy pretty much is. Notice what he doesn't say. If you will, Jesus, I know you can heal me. That's not what the leper's worried about. What is the leper worried about? Becoming clean. He wants to have the uncleanness taken away because what does he know can happen once he becomes clean? He can go back to a normal life. He can go into the synagogues. He can go back to the marketplaces. He could maybe even go back to his family, his friends, and all of those people. And so what he says, if you want to, Jesus, that's really what that word will means. If you want to, I know you can make me clean. And so that's why when we go into verse 41, it says, moved with pity. That's what the ESV reads. But I like the New American Standard where it says, moved with pity. Compassion. Imagine what Jesus saw. This man running to him, urging him, Jesus, I know you can make me clean. Please do that for me. If you want to, I know you can do this. And so Jesus, seeing this man who's living in isolation, being alone, having to go around and do all of these things because he is unclean, he is moved with compassion. So he does this. He stretches out his hand and touches him. Some of the most powerful lessons I've heard are from that very verse. Imagine how long this leper has gone without feeling the touch of another human. Without having a hug, right? He didn't get to come in into the Hilldale Church building on a Sunday morning and get hugged by 30 different people. He had to go around screaming unclean. And so rather than getting near him, people avoided him. People wanted to go the opposite way. If they saw a leper coming down the road, they quickly turned around and went the other way. So to feel the touch of another person, I can't imagine what is going through his mind. Did Jesus have to touch the leper? No. But he did. Because he felt compassion for this leper. Because he probably knew this leper hadn't been touched or hugged or had any sort of intimate touching in however long. And so he reaches out his hand and he touches him and he says, I will. Now, a better understanding of that word is, I want to. See, Jesus wasn't obligated to help this man at all, but his compassion led to him saying, I want to. I really want to help you. So be clean. And in verse 42, and immediately his leprosy left him and he was made clean. He was now able to be a part of normal society. He was now able to go to the synagogue. He was now able to get out of that leprosy camp and go back into the regular town. Could you imagine the emotions that are going through this leper's mind now that he has been immediately made clean? He's able to be back. He's able to be out of isolation. He's able to not live alone anymore. So we read in verse 43, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now what we understand from those verses is Jesus was very concerned about how this man handled him being cleansed from leprosy. He wanted him to fulfill the law of Moses. I'm reading back in Leviticus and back in 13 and in chapter 14. I want you to follow what Moses said to do. But I want you to read verse 45. Notice the contrast word at the very beginning. But he went out and began to talk freely, proclaim freely about it. Now, what is the it? That's the leprosy being cleansed. That he's now able to be a part of society. So he goes out and begins to talk freely. That word for talk freely is the word keruso, which means to proclaim the gospel message. You see, sometimes we always just think the gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right? If someone was to come to you and say, what is the gospel? That's probably what you would say. But notice Jesus goes and he's proclaiming, keruso, the gospel of God. What was the good news of God we talked about in verses 14 and 15? The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Repent and believe. Doesn't sound like the death, burial, and resurrection. So every time we see good news is being preached, don't always go into your mind and think he must be preaching the gospel, because that hasn't happened yet here. What he's doing is he's going and proclaiming freely that this man Jesus has cleansed me from my leprosy. Isn't that good news? And that's the good news. He's going around and he's talking freely. Now understand the freely part. He didn't have to go around in torn clothes and a mask and all of these things to be able to proclaim. He got to do it freely. He got to go into the marketplaces. He got to go into the town and to let people know the good news about Jesus. He did such a great job, probably not to Jesus' wishes, but he did such a great job sharing the news about Jesus that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. Wow. Could you imagine? Just imagine with me. If all of us did a good enough job sharing Jesus with people, that it would be hard to get into this parking lot. That it would be hard to have everybody sit in these pews because we've got too many people coming. That's what this one leper did. He shared the news of Jesus so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but he had to stay in the desolate places because people were coming to him from every quarter. What is that good news? We talked about it. Do I have to understand exactly what the gospel is? Do I have to have scriptures in my mind to be able to go and tell somebody about Jesus? It'd be cool if you did. But isn't good news just good news? And so my encouragement in being the one who shares Jesus is do this week. Maybe tell somebody how Jesus has affected your life. Isn't that good news? Has Jesus affected every life in this particular building? I would say you have, or else you probably wouldn't be here. If you've become a Christian, Jesus has affected your life some way. Maybe Jesus has helped a relationship of yours. Maybe Jesus has helped your marriage. Maybe Jesus has helped your finances. Maybe Jesus has helped with a struggle you've had. Maybe Jesus has helped you with loneliness. Isn't that good news? Isn't that enough good news to go and share with somebody? Maybe your coworker is having trouble with their marriage. You think you sharing good news about how Jesus has affected your marriage would be good news to them? Could be. Maybe you could try sharing that. Or maybe you have friends and maybe they're going down the wrong path. Couldn't you share the good news of Jesus and how he's affected your life with them? Absolutely. Maybe you could tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus. You could teach somebody about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You can go to scriptures and show them that Jesus went to the cross, he died, he was buried, and in 3 days he rose again. And then for many more days on the earth, going and witnessing himself to all these people, he then ascended to heaven. And that's where he reigns today. Couldn't you tell people about that? That's good news, right? Or maybe you could send someone a Bible verse that has impacted you. Now, there's a caveat to this one. I have to be in the Bible to have those Bible verses, don't I? Right? Now, it's the beginning of the year. Everybody's probably 5 days into their Bible reading plan for the year. Maybe there has been a verse in your Bible reading plan that you say, wow, that's awesome. That's interesting. Send it to somebody. Because at that moment, that verse impacted you somehow. Why not send it to somebody else? Because if it impacted you, don't you think it could impact somebody else? So just send them a verse and say, hey, read this morning. Thought you may like it. It impacted me. Maybe it'll have some use for you as well. A simple way to share good news with people. Or maybe share with somebody a Bible lesson. Well, how do I do that? Well, maybe you listen to different churches of Christ on your podcast that put their sermons out. Just a hint, we do that. We also have YouTube videos of all sorts on our YouTube page that you could share with some. Maybe it's a Bible lesson from 5 years ago that you really enjoyed. It's still on there and you can share it with somebody. Or maybe it's a sermon you just heard. You can share that with somebody. Or maybe it's another lesson that you found. Feel free to share it. When we lived in Alabama, there was a lady who shared sermons with people every single week. She also shared one with me every single week because that was her way of sharing good news with somebody, was to say, here is a lesson that I listened to. Maybe it will have an impact in your life too. Or maybe you can let someone know of a prayer that has been answered recently. We're all praying all the time, I hope. And those prayers are being answered. Maybe a prayer was answered concerning something that you've had seriously going on in your life, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. This has gotten answered. I need to go tell somebody about it. Maybe you tell somebody at work that, hey, I've been praying about this, and it's so awesome that Jesus answered this for me. It's not like you're boasting or anything. You're letting them know that Jesus has answered a prayer for you, that God the Father has answered a prayer for you. Guess what that could do to somebody? Maybe they ask you to pray for them. Or maybe they say, without saying anything at all, I need to start praying again. I've been praying so long, and now I hear this encouraging message, this good news from a coworker of mine who says that they actually had a prayer answered. Maybe I should get back into praying. Maybe they don't know how to pray. Maybe they ask you to pray with them or help them and teach them to pray. All that came about because we shared some good news with them. And so as we start this year, I want to encourage you to be the one who will share some good news, whatever that news may be. Now, I'm going to take it a step further, and I hope you have your order of worship. Who will be that one you share this good news with? I always find it a little bit more convicting if I put a name down. So who will be that one? My encouragement for you is to think about that today and write that name down in your order of worship. And this week, share good news with that person. Whatever it may be, maybe you share a sermon, maybe you share a Bible verse that you read, maybe you share a prayer that's been answered in your life, or maybe you just share how Jesus has affected your life. Have one person in mind when you do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you are struggling in your life And maybe this morning is the morning where you want to ask for prayers and encouragement. As this year is beginning, we would love to pray with you and encourage you any way we possibly can. As you notice, this leper, Jesus didn't walk by him. He came to Jesus. He knew Jesus had the answers for him. He knew Jesus could help him. Maybe you're feeling like that leper this morning, and you want to come this morning and have prayers said on your behalf. Or maybe you're ready to become a child of God. You're ready to have your sins washed away in baptism. This morning could be that morning. You could start the new year as a Christian. If you have a need this morning, we ask you to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.